Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord to all of you. We thank God for all His mercies upon us. Basically, I was being prayed by Brother Kenneth. I'm so happy that he prayed for me. He said he very clearly mentioned as a colt. But it is not mentioned as it is as and a colt. It is mentioned as and a colt. So he skipped as because he didn't want to probably mention that word as, and he wanted to make me as a colt. But actually, I am blessed that I am blessed that I was an ass. Because I am born on April 1st. This coming this week is my birthday, my 64th birthday. I thank God for that. I thank God. I did not think that even I live after 60, but God has blessed me after 60 to be a blessing unto. That is only God's grace. I thank God that brother prayed for me, and I'm an ass for him. I will be an ass for him till my death. That will be my testimony. Now, today, this particular message was there for probably more than a month, which I was thinking that I have to mention. But then I saw the women's ministry came with the same verses. So I was happy. That was a confirmation for me that I have this is the message. So that is the reason again. That is the reason I put the same name because that was given to me early. Can you all hear me? I just wanted to can you all hear me well?
Loud
Can
and
you?
clear, brother.
All
Yes.
right.
Loud and clear.
All right. Thank you. So I'm actually today the message that is given to me is the part one. And there is a part two also. And the part one is actually someone asked me whether you are born again. I said, yes, I am born again. Then he asked me, well, what is the experience that you have? The experience that you have. I told him that I had an encounter with God. So I gave my testimony to him. I gave my testimony because he wanted to know how the sins are forgiven, how we have the confirmation that the sins are forgiven, and how we are saved. So when he asked me that question, I understood that we are taking the study in the DT discipleship classes, but it's very important that I have to mention here. The other question he asked is when I took John chapter 3 to explain it to him, John chapter 3:3. He said, I read it out. Most assuredly, I say unto you, unless one is born again, he shall not see the kingdom of God. Then in the fifth verse, when I read, most assuredly, I say unto you, unless one is born of water and spirit, he shall not enter the kingdom of God. So here, when you compare with these two verses, 3 and 5, the difference is seeing the kingdom of God and entering the kingdom of God. So you have, so again, I asked him, what do you understand by the fifth verse? That unless you are born of water and of spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. The answer from him was, born of water means I have to be baptized. And then I asked, what do you mean by born of spirit? He said, I have to speak in other tongues. But he's not speaking in other tongues, but he said that is his understanding. So I very, very well, I thought that the difference between the seeing the kingdom of God and entering the kingdom of God is very, very important. So at present, I am only going with the seeing of the kingdom of God. That is the part of our study. So I wanted to tell you that baptism is not this born again experience. Born of water and born of spirit means that is not baptism. Because born of water is very clearly the baptism baptism we had in the Christian faith only from the time of Jesus. Before that, there was no baptism. Baptism was not there. So in the Old Testament, in the law, there is no baptism at all. From John the Baptist, he is the first. That's why he's called John the Baptist. So he's the one who started off with baptism. But that was only in the name, that was a repentance baptism. That was not in the name of the Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So the baptism started only after the death of Christ. Before that, all those baptisms that they had, that were repentance baptism. Because the Holy Spirit came after the death of Christ. Why? Because before the death of Christ, our sins are not forgiven in full. Unless and otherwise, our sins are forgiven, for that a price has to be paid. And who did pay the price? Jesus Christ, by his death. So it's very clear that he paid the price after that. That is why Jesus said, unless I go, the Holy Spirit will not come. The Helper will not come. So we know that the Holy Spirit came after his death and burial and resurrection. So he resurrected only after that. Once we believe that he is the Son of God, and when we believe that, we, first of all, we should have a vision that he is the Son of God. That is the first thing that is happening into us. That when we see him, when we see him, the glory of God, which is reflected on his face, that you and me, we can see that. And when that glory, we encounter with God's glory, that changes our life. Immediately, what we say is, Lord, I am a sinner. Go away. Peter said, Zacchaeus said, so many other people said that, please go away. Why? Because I am a sinner. You are holy. You are most holy. When that revelation came of Jesus, immediately the change happened. Now, when I repented of my sins, after that, that was the seeing of the kingdom of God, that we accepted that he is the son of the living God. When we accepted, the glory came into us. Immediately after that, Because we accepted Christ and he is the Son of God and he is accepted by the Father, he is accepted by the Father, we accept that he is my Lord and I have the equal inheritance of Jesus Christ. That is according to Romans chapter 8, 17. We don't need to go and read there. So we are co-heirs of his. So we become co-heirs. Now the Holy Spirit can come down and dwell in us. This is a holy place where the Holy Spirit can, because not that we will not sin. We can sin, but we can sin only if we will, if we allow. Otherwise, now the Holy Spirit can clearly come to this purchased position by Christ. He has paid the price. If Ephesians chapter 1:14 says that we are the purchased possession, and when we are the purchased possession and the property of Christ, there you see the Holy Spirit coming and dwelling into us, and he makes. But all this is happening within this maybe a second. Immediately when you see Christ, when you accept him, immediately the glory of God descends. Immediately you will have the experience that you are a sinner, not my neighbor, not others, I am a sinner. So that experience comes, and then immediately after that the Holy Spirit comes down into us. So then the Holy Spirit changes our heart. God gives a new heart, which is responsive to God's word, which is responsive to God's word. Now the Holy Spirit, now having full command over us. Now he, like how the sin had the power over us, the sin had the power over us. Now the sin is not having the power over us. Instead, the Holy Spirit is having the power over us. And the Holy Spirit is having the full control. Now the Holy Spirit is dwelling in us. The glory of God is dwelling in us. Now we will be coming there. I just wanted to give a picture of what would be the message all together. So one thing I want to say, baptism is not the born again experience. Only a born again child needs baptism. Only, this is very, very important, because that's a declaration of a new creation in Christ. Not by the, because many of them, they have told me, baptism is a, when I ask them, what is your experience? They do not have an experience. They say that this is the experience. But I wanted to tell you, when the message goes, I will, towards the end, I will tell you what is the experience that you will have when you are encountering. Everyone's experience might be different. Each and everyone's experience might be different, but there will be one common thing there. That is what we are going to look at. So listen towards the end, so that you will definitely come to know, if you have any wrong understanding, definitely you will come to know what is the wrong understanding that you have. Now, I am just going with that John 3:3. What does John 3:3 says? John 3:3 says that, that most assuredly I say unto you, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. So we will be looking at that. Now, I just wanted to give my testimony. I just want to mention about my testimony. How did it happen? You know, I was a dropout, not a person that you see me. I was a dropout from the school, from the college. I was a dropout. When I say I was a dropout, I don't have any other meaning to mention who I was, because in the college, all the degree, bachelor degree takes only 3 years. But for me, I took 6 years. After 6 years, did I pass even a single subject? No. All the 12 subjects were in arrears. That was my life. When I had achieved that mark, you have to understand it is not a small thing. Because to achieve in 6 years, you have 12 exams, and in all the 12 exams, I did not pass even a single subject, means how a person I should be. So I that is why I said I'm an ass, because I was not at all worthy to be called, or what you see me now is not my real picture. Now, I had a very bad young age, where I was sent out from my house. From my relatives, they have directly come and told me, you should not enter into my house. I'm not adding one word here, a lie to glorify God. Only what I have experienced in my life. Not one person, many people have told me, and many parents, they don't want their children to be my friends, because they know that I am a spoiled child. So I was like that. Now, during that time, I had a big fight with my father, and he also sent me out. So the life for me, every day I will think, I will show all my people that I am someone. One day I cannot complete. One day morning I think like that, I sit, I cannot. Yeah, many, many days passed by, I couldn't. My days were very disappointing for me. Very disappointing, because I am not able to face others. This was one of the biggest problem. And at that point of time, something serious happened in my family. And I went there, and one teacher, who was an old teacher of mine, he was standing there, and he said that it is because of your life like this that you are spending. So I said, what should I do, sir? I wanted to come out. I wanted to leave this life, but I cannot. I want to do it for a day, I cannot. So he said, so I was literally crying. I wanted to come out. So when I told him, immediately he said, I will say a prayer. See, that's why I'm telling you, for everyone it will be different. He said, you repeat it. I said, sir, I'm ready to repeat anything if I can change. Then he said, oh Father, I am a sinner. Only this much he said, oh Father, I could complete only oh Father. But when he said I am a sinner, I couldn't repeat it, because I was just crying like a child. And the glory of God, when I was crying, I really understood the glory of God descending upon me. The whole body was in light. And everyone has got a different experience. For me, it was like a weightless person. After this experience, I was crying. I think for more than 5 minutes, I cried. And then after that, the thirst of knowing who is this God. Thirst. And I was a totally different person after this. So what I'm saying is this is before the character changed. When I saw the glory of God, seeing the kingdom of God, when you see the kingdom of God, that is the glory of God. That makes the change in your life. That is the effective thing that happens. It might happen to many of you, but you might not understand that that was an experience that God wanted to speak to you. Maybe you might be having an experience of that you are nothing, or you are a big zero, or you are an ass, or you are whatever you're doing is not worth. All these things is the glory of God touching you. At that time, what we need to do is, Lord Jesus, when Jesus say tells Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus, I am going to stay in your house. Immediately he says, Lord, I am a sinner. It says that I am a sinner. I am, then he's counting each and every sin. So that is the way. I am just giving you an example of how Zacchaeus did. We know that even Isaiah, who had a vision of God, immediately he said, "Woe unto me." I want you to have this clear picture that whenever you have this experience, don't turn it around. Take that time. Immediately go and sit before God. God wants to talk to your heart. God wants to change you. He wants to make you a new person. He does not want to be in that power of sin. He wants to change you. That is the time you submit to God, seeing the kingdom of God. Then God, once you submit to Him, immediately because of the glory of God, God will send you, immediately He will send you the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will change from within. Now, you do not need to worry that you did not speak in tongues. Speaking in tongues is only one of the hundreds and hundreds of gifts of the Holy Spirit. That is not required for you. It is required for you for having a communion when you are praying. So that I am not going to the gifts of the Spirit now. So what I am saying is, if you are not speaking in the tongues, don't think that the Holy Spirit is not in you. The Holy Spirit dwells in you, creates a new person in you. And when He comes to you, you will feel that you are a weightless person. Your sins are forgiven. There will be a heart for knowing God more and more. This is the experience that you will have when you are having a born-again experience. I wanted to tell you, I wanted to give you a small example of a small yacht. A small yacht that is coming down a stream, and you are inside the yacht. This is with regard to each and every one of our lives. A yacht coming down the stream in that current, and you are sitting there. This is your life. While coming, you come to a particular place where you are confronted with a big rock, and the big rock is stopping your path. Stopping your path. Now you have two options here. The first option is that you either break the rock and go. That is not possible. Second is take the yacht and take it over the rock and go on the other side of the rock and continue. Now, to take this yacht by yourself, you cannot because it is It is not easy to carry a yacht in your hand like an umbrella. So you take these two things you cannot do. Now you are stuck there. Now what do you do? You are comfortably, your life was going. What do you do? You are faced by a mountain. That mountain is one of the problems that you're facing in your life. And this mountain is going to address your fate. What do you do? The only one thing that you can do is cry to God. Cry to God. When you cry to God and give all glory to Him, immediately you will see that the light shining, within your heart. Now you will have the heart to wait until whatever time you want. But during that time, God will do something. He will not come and lift the yacht and put you on the other side of it. He will not come and break the rock. But what he will do, he will send a current. That current is enough to take you over and above. That current will take you over and above the mountain that you're facing. That is the grace of God. That is the grace of God that will be supplied to you for free when you cry out to the Lord. That is the grace that you are going to have when you go over the rock and your life will be smooth. So give glory. I wanted to make you understand that when did you receive this grace that the yacht will start going up? Only when you cry unto God. When you cry unto God, when you don't have any other options left, God wants you to ask Him. You know, yesterday I was reading 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 26 onwards. There is no need to show. There, God selected not the wise people. If I was selecting, I would have selected the wise person, the most wise, most qualified. But God selected the unwise, the idiot. He did not select the heavily built person. He selected the weak person. And then it goes and says, he selected the wretched people. Why? Only one reason, to show the glory of God. If there is some glory in us, he cannot dwell. If we cry out with our own, the second and third plan, he cannot work on us. He cannot. When you pray, if you are not born again, if you have doubt, there is only one thing, and only one thing, that God will start working on you when you pray. And when you pray, confess your sins. When you have this experience that you feel that you are nothing, that is God's time that God is working in you. So I wanted to let you know how God is working and what is the born again experience. Now, the same thing happened to Saint Thomas also. Saint Thomas, he did not believe. When Jesus gave audience to his disciples, he was not there. But when all the others came and said, he did not believe. So what a kind of faith he had, I was thinking, because he was all around with Jesus. He was calling, "Master, Master, Master." Then he says, "Unless I see," that means he believed like any one of us, or we believe in Christ, we believe in God. But he was a person that he never believed God, because He believed as a normal person, but he says that I will, unless I see his wound and put my hand. When you read John chapter 20:28, you will see there Jesus telling Jesus at in the 27th verse, reach your finger here and look at my hands, and reach your hand here and put it into my side. This is in the 27th verse. And did he go and try out whether there was a wound? He never did that. He never did that. You see that in the 27th verse, you put your finger immediately. Until then, he was calling Master, Master. Now he has changed. He has changed the wording, my Lord and my God. This is the revelation for him that Christ was God himself. This was the first time that he accepted my Lord and my God. He specifically mentioned my God. Why did he say that? Why did he say that? He saw the glory of God, because Jesus had resurrected. He is there. So it is a testimony to us. St. Thomas says, I have seen him, his glory. This verse says, I have seen his glory. And then I would wish to take you to Romans chapter 3:21. If you listen very carefully, you will understand the meaning of this verse. 3:21. But now, the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed. Is revealed. There you finish. There you finish. So there it says, the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is manifested. You know, what does that mean? This particular verse means the righteousness of God without law is manifested, means the law is for what? The law was to reflect God. And for us to connect to God, the law said you have to be cleansed out of your sins. And unless you are cleansed out of your sins, you cannot come near God. So the sacrifice, the ordinance of sacrifice, was given as a way that we can go near God. So there you see, apart from law means law was intended to offer a sacrifice to go near God. So, what do you understand there? What you understand, the law says that you should offer an animal and take the blood and offer the blood. That is what the law says. Now, that verse says, but now the righteousness of God apart from the law. The law was mentioned to give the blood of an animal, but now you see the righteousness of God. God has come himself and taken his blood to offer for us. See the meaning? Now, the righteousness of God apart from the law means the law says that you have to offer a sacrifice for your sins. Now, here Paul says, now the righteousness of God. What is righteousness of God? He himself came down for us and he offered himself as a sacrifice. So that is what, but now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed. So the law was revealing about a sacrifice, and that sacrifice was Jesus Christ. That sacrifice was Jesus Christ. The law was pointing at a sacrifice, and that sacrifice was Jesus Christ. Being witnessed by law and prophets. What do you mean by that? is the law and the prophets are the witness. The law says, yes, I am pointing out at a sacrifice that is not with that is much valuable than this. Law says, I am pointing out to this righteousness of God who is Jesus Christ. The prophet says, we are prophesying. We don't know for whom we have prophesied, but we have prophesied only about Christ. If you talk to Isaiah, if you have a chance to meet Isaiah in heaven, if you ask him, he will say this particular thing that I have read, I have written many things. I didn't know what I was writing. But now I understand because now I am in the reality. So he says that we have written about Christ who is a child is born, a son is given. A child is born, that is in chapter Isaiah chapter 9, 6, 6 or 7, it says, a child is born and for a child is born and a son is given. See the beauty. A child is born of Mary. A son is given. There was a son. There was a son and that son is given and the government shall be on his shoulder. Why did he write that for us a child is born? Unto us a son is given. He saw his glory. In the next message, I will show you how he saw this glory. And then he will be called the everlasting Father, the mighty God. How can one write this verse? The everlasting Father, the mighty God. He had the full revelation. So the prophets say, we are the witnesses. Law says we are the witnesses. And then it says, this is the righteousness of God apart from the law. So I wanted to picturize the same thing which is in the New Testament. Luke chapter 9, 29. This talks about how Jesus in the mount, what happened? What did he do? We will read it. 9:30 says, behold, two men. 9:29 says, as he prayed, the appearance of his face altered, and his robe became white and glistering. And two men talked with him, who were Moses and Elijah. Now, this here, you see that his face was altered. Robe was white and glistering. This is what in Romans chapter 3:21, it says that the righteousness of God has appeared without the law. He says the appearance of his face, the Christ's appearance is changed, totally changed. He was full of glory and his robe became white and glistering. And in the 30th verse, we read that two men were talking to him. Who were the witnesses in Romans 3:21? We see those two witnesses were the law and the prophets. You see the person who gave the law, Moses there, and you see Elijah there. So you have Moses and Elijah talking. You know, they were talking about many, many things there. But the beauty is that God wanted to bring about a very important thing. That is in the 34th verse and 35th verse. 34th verse, he says, while he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them. And they were fearful as they entered the cloud. They were inside the cloud. They were inside the glory of God. They were inside the cloud. What did this cloud do? The cloud overshadowed them and they were fearful. The glory of God covered them. Covered them. And they were in the glory. And the 35th verse says, and a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved son, hear him. The sound that they heard was from heaven. This is my beloved son, hear him. You know, this particular word that this is my beloved son, hear him, is in the front of Elijah and Moses. The word did not say, the sound did not say, you have to hear Moses and then Jesus, or Jesus and then Moses. No, it did not say. It said, this is my beloved son and hear him. We have to hear him and look into the law. Then you will have the picture of the whole New Testament. If you want to have the New Testament picture, you have to come to Christ and then go back to the New Testament. You will read with such a beautiful narration. The narration that God gives to you will be beautiful. When you read Abraham and Isaac, it will be beautiful. When you read Isaac and Rebekah, it will be beautiful. When you read Joseph, it will be beautiful. Any particular part you read, that will be beautiful. So that is because we are in the cloud. We are in the cloud. So the same Luke 29 and 30, we see there the same picturization in Romans chapter 3:21. In Romans chapter 3:21 talks about the righteousness of God apart from law. And here in the 29th verse, we see that righteousness of God in glistering, robe was white and glistering, and his face was altered in glory. You see the righteousness of God. And who were the witnesses? The law and the prophets. So you have the same picture in Luke. That is why Peter in 2 Peter, Peter says, we are not, in 2 Peter 16, we are not following any cunning devices. We are not bringing to you any kind of devised fables. We made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He was mentioning about the power and coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, but he says, we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. We were eyewitnesses of his majesty. You see that we are the eyewitnesses of his majesty. Can you say that I am the eyewitnesses of his majesty? All the children of God say, I am the witness of his majesty. Say you are the child. God has touched you. God wants to talk to you. God wants to take you to his glory. He is waiting upon us. So the 17th verse, he says that he received this confirmation from God the Father, honor and glory, when such a voice, for he received, who received? Jesus Christ received from the Father, honor and glory. When? How? Honor and glory in their hearts. Their honor and glory was so much that the voice that came to them was from the excellent glory. He says it is from the excellent glory. So that you are my beloved son and I am well pleased. You are my beloved son, and I am well pleased. So this is a confirmation that we have, from Christ himself, who showed himself that he was the righteousness of God, and he is that offering, that sacrifice that he has made. Now, that God wanted to give. Now, we will read a particular part from 2 Corinthians chapter 3:14. 2 Corinthians chapter 3:14 says that there it says, this part talks about the glory of God. You will understand what is the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. Listen very, very, very carefully. I am reading from NLT. NLT is here. NLT is there. But the people's minds were hardened. And to this day, whenever the old covenant is being read, the same veil covers their mind, so they cannot understand the truth. My question is, who is this people that the apostle is talking to? Who is this people? It is the Hebrews. Hebrews. He is writing this book to Hebrews. So it is to Hebrews that he is writing. He's writing this letter. So he says that, but the people's mind were hardened, the believers in Hebrews. So the letter is to the Hebrews. So the people's mind were hardened. To this day, whenever the old covenant is being read, the same veil covers their minds so that they cannot understand the truth. And the veil can be removed only if by believing in Christ. This is a very authoritative word, though it is written in the middle. Because when you read about Moses, when you read Exodus 34:30, there you see that. So when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come near him. They could not come near him. So they were standing far. You just imagine those times, maybe the light is not there, and they are seeing Moses' face. Suppose we are seeing Moses' face like that in the night when he is standing there. Will you have the courage to go? You will definitely think, I will think, I don't know about you, but I will definitely think that this is scary. Be careful. Don't go. You understand? So I am here. The author says that when they saw this, they were afraid to come near him. But when you see Peter and James and John, when Jesus came, when his face was shining, not like this, it was such a bright glory, they did not fear. But see the difference. When you are not a believer, what happens to them when their minds were hardened? To this day, when you read the old covenant, it is the same. The covering is there in their mind. And the 15th verse. Yes, even today, when the Hebrews read Moses' writings, their hearts are covered with that veil and they do not understand. This is NLT 3:15. Then the 16th verse. But whenever someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. This is the 16th verse. When someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. You will have a clear picture of the Old Testament when you turn to Jesus Christ. So when someone turns to the Lord, someone means not the whole the Hebrews, someone turns to the Lord, someone sees the glory of God, then immediately what happens to them is their veil is taken away. You need to understand the spiritual meaning of that. That is that you know about Paul. When he met Jesus, he had the encounter. Later on, we read that a scale fell from his eyes. A scale fell from his eyes. So that particular part that is not mentioned there, that's not mentioned that. So you see that the scale came out. What is that scale? Is his self-righteousness. All his self-righteousness fell there. So that is exactly, here says, someone turns to Lord, the veil is taken away. What is the veil? The veil is nothing but our self-righteousness through the law. Because you commit the law, you do the works of the law, and you say that I am righteous. So that is removed. Now the 17th verse. Why? Because the Lord is the Spirit. Yes, the Spirit. And wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There is freedom. Because you can understand. What do you understand by that? You are a spirit. Now God is a spirit. Now it says that you have freedom. Why? Because you are in the presence of the Creator. You are in the presence of the Creator. That is what the 17th verse says. The 18th verse says, so all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of God. This is NLT 3:18. So again, I'm reading. So all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of God. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like Him as we are changed into His glorious image. This is called sanctification. This is called sanctification. So the Spirit of the Lord is now dwelling in us. Now the glory is where? The glory is in us. Now the glory is dwelling in us and making this earthen vessel into such a glorious habitation of God, tabernacle of God, habitation of God. So here you see that now the veil is removed and you see reflect the glory of God. Now let us move to the next chapter, which is 2 Corinthians chapter 4:3. There we read that, but even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. There he is talking about the gospel. He is not mentioning as gospel. He is mentioning as glorious gospel. Glorious gospel, because glory is attached to everything. So here you see that the fourth verse says that now still that veil is there only to those who are perishing, means who are not born again. Who are perishing means who are not born again, who did not know Christ, who did not accept Christ as his personal savior. So that who are perishing. Then the fourth verse says, whose mind the God of this age has blinded. The God of this age will say, this is your business. Now, today is a Friday. You have to go and do that. It is important. You can serve the Lord. You can give money to God. You can do everything. If you go and work today, it will definitely tell you. The world will tell you that is not important. Come and do so that you can be a minister of God. No. God says, seek ye the kingdom of God and his righteousness, so that everything shall be added unto you. So we have to seek the glory of God. We have to seek his righteousness. So there you see that do believe, so here we say, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of glory of Christ, whose the image of God should shine on them. The light of the gospel of glory, the light of the gospel of glory, whose the image of God should shine on them. Now, this is the fourth verse. The sixth verse is, for it is God who commanded life to shine out of darkness. Here, Paul brings the first ordinance that God said, let there be light. And that light, now here, God commanded to shine out of darkness. Our hearts were full of darkness, full of darkness. And the light shined in darkness so that you could understand, you to give the light of the knowledge of the glory in the face of Jesus Christ. See, in the face of Jesus Christ, the knowledge of glory of God was residing. This is what it changes you and me. When you have an encounter with Christ, this the knowledge of the glory of God, which was in the face of Jesus Christ, is now shining as the commandment says, let there be light. Let there be light, and the light shone. The light shines when it says that let there be light. And that light, which is in the face of Jesus Christ, the knowledge of glory of God. So the glory of God was in the face of Jesus Christ. And then the seventh verse says, this treasure in earthen vessels, in our earthen vessels. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is dwelling in us, and the Spirit of God is dwelling completely in us. And Paul says, this treasure is in our earthen vessel. This treasure, this glory of God, when the Holy Spirit is residing, the glory of God is residing in us. The glory of God is residing in us, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. You understand? That the excellence of the power may be of God, not of us. This is the glory of Christ. I am just going through two or three verses which shows the glory of God. Hebrews chapter 1, 3 says, who being the bright of his glory and the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of God, right hand of the majesty on high. We have to read only the first part, who is the bright of his glory and express image of his person. Who sat down at the right hand of God. And when John chapter 1, 4 says, in him was light, and the light was light of men, this shows the glory of God. And then the fifth verse, the light that shines in darkness. And then it goes and says that darkness could not comprehend it, could not comprehend it. I pray that darkness has got no power on each of us. The power is taken away in Christ. The light shall shine in darkness. And ninth verse says, the true light which gives light to every man coming into this world. That was the true light which came unto and which gives light to every man coming into this world. This is the glory that he gives. And the 14th verse says, and the word became flesh, dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only one begotten Father, full of grace and truth. So we came to know, we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten Father. Now, I want, the message is finished. I want to remind you about the first experience and the second experience. The first experience will be from Galatians chapter 2, 17, that whenever you seek, but if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are found sinners. We ourselves are found sinners. When you come to the glory of God, when you are touched by the glory of God, this is the experience that you are going to have. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are found sinners. That is the first experience. Then after that, the change, everything happens. So that is the first experience. Now, the first experience might be slightly different for all of us. But God has commanded, Romans chapter 5:8 says, God has commanded his love towards us, that when we were sinners, Christ died. Commanded, note the word commanded, commands his love towards us, that while we were sinners, yet sinners, Christ died for us. So he has commanded. Now everyone say, God has commanded. God has commanded light into each and every one of our hearts, so that we shall be light unto the world. So the experience, the second experience would be that you would be thinking that I am nothing. I am of zero value. I am a waste. Whatever you have done in your life is good for nothing now. But now you know that, you know that it is not a waste. God wants you. God wants the ass. God wants the waste of this world. God does not want the vice of this world. God wants only the waste of this world to show forth his glory. So if you are a waste, if you are not wise, God wants you. God wants to touch on you. And then you will feel that I am nothing. All these days I've been running was not for anything else. And Psalms 42 says, your heart will pant after the water brooks, so that you will go after the word of God. You will find it as a treasure, as a treasure. So let us bow down and say that Bible in Hebrews chapter 12:2, looking unto God, author and finisher of our faith, for the joy that he has set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame. Here, who endured the cross, despising the shame, he had the joy in him. Even while he was crucified, he had the joy in him. He is the author and finisher of our faith. He will be the beginning and the end of our life. And Hebrews chapter 10, 34 says, you have a better and an enduring substance in heaven. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. Hebrews 10:34 says, you have a better and an enduring substance. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which has great recompense reward. That is why Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is a substance. You see the substance here? In 11:1 also, you see the substance there. Substance of things hoped for the evidence of things not seen. So may God bless you all. Have a Have a wonderful relationship with God. More than anything, whenever you have the glory of God talking to you, touching you, whenever you are feeling, Lord, whenever you're feeling that you are now nothing, but God is big. That is the time that God wants to talk to you. Close everything and pray unto God. Confess all your sins. God will start speaking to you. The born again experience is not out of your reach. It's God's wish that everyone should be born again. Everyone should be recreated. That is God's will. So it is very much there. God is ready to give you that experience. Whenever God wants to talk to you, open your hearts, rend your hearts so that God can come in and he can put his throne and he can make you a habitation of God, a tabernacle of God, that God will bless you abundantly. You will be a blessing unto many. As Jesus Christ was a blessing, you will be also a blessing unto many. May God bless you all. I'm giving it back to Pastor.
Praise the Lord, church. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
The Lord is good. What a wonderful message that we have had this afternoon. God has his own way of talking to us. God has his own way of making sure that, yes, whatever he wants us to hear, he will always pass that message across. Let me just remind us from what one, two of the scripture that brother read, which is 2 Corinthians 4, 6 to 7. For God, who said, let there be light in the darkness, has made the light shine in our heart, so we could know the glory of God that is seen in the face of Christ, of Jesus Christ. Verse 7. We now have the light shining in our heart, but
Amen.
Ourselves are like fragile clay containing this great treasure. This makes it clear that our greater power is from God, not from ourselves. As brother concluded, let us open our heart to receive him. We know that, yes, we have to be born again, true born again, genuine born again. Let's open our heart so that great light, because he said, brother said, God is light. And that light will always shine through us. If you are in darkness, this is the time for you to submit yourself so that you can allow that light to shine through you. Because the knowledge of God's glory shine continue, the knowledge of God's glory shall continue to shine upon us in Jesus' name. We thank God for today that we are able to have this service. Let me just take us back to John 4, verse 24. We say, God is spirit, and his worshiper must worship in the spirit and in truth. The worship is not about the building. It is about our hearts, and that's exactly what has happened today. Brothers, prepare for this message. Physically, he has prepared. But God wants a way that he wants to pass this across, even beyond the border of Oman. Because I could see from the attendance that there are a lot of our old members also that joined this link. There, God really wants to bless them. So it is not just about the building. It is about our heart. And this message, God already planted it in our heart. And so shall it be in Jesus' name. And finally, the book of Romans 8:28 is a popular scripture for each and every one of us. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. Even the weather disruption cannot stop us from hearing this blessed message today. That weather disruption that we might be experiencing today is part of God's plan towards this greater height for us to hear this word and submit ourselves. And I believe that God shall continue to visit us in Jesus' name. Let us submit ourselves. Let us open our heart. Let us submit a genuine submission, and we release ourselves so that we can be genuinely born again, and we shall never go back to our vomit in Jesus' name. Thank you, everyone. We want to thank you for the wonderful service we had today. But before I pray, is there anyone that is joining us online you are worshiping with us for the first time, you can just mention in the comment section to indicate that. We will take note of that. And some of our leaders drop your number, your phone number. Some of our visitation team, they will take note of that, and they will contact you. And for our own member that are joined, we are blessed to have you around to partake in today's service. God shall continue to be with you wherever your location is, in Jesus' name. It's still the same God. God is good, and is good, and is good forever in our life, in Jesus' name. Let us pray. Everlasting Father, we want to bless your holy name and thank you, Lord, for the wonderful message we have heard today. Not just the message, even the service itself is a wonderful message before you, because you have ordained that this is how today's message is going to be. This is how you will take it through, that even if it's raining, if the fire is burning, that we will still serve you. We thank God that you create a platform for us to join together to listen to your word this afternoon. All glory and adoration unto you in the mighty name of Jesus. Your word has been planted. Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit continue to water it in our heart in the mighty name of Jesus. We pray, God Almighty, all the messages we have heard today shall be firmly rooted in our heart, and it shall continue to grow. As that light continue to shine through us, and that your glory continue to shine in our life as your ambassadors in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you for your servant that you have used for us. Thank you for the personal experience he has shared for us. And thank you, Lord, that yes, he made us know that no one, you reject no one. We thank you that you have called him and you are using him greatly. Continue to bless him. Bless his ministry. Bless the work of his hand. Bless his family, the children, and the great-grandchildren. Bless each and every one of them. Father, bless us as your congregation as well, in the mighty name of Jesus. And as we close this service, Father, let that your glory, let that your light continue to shine through us in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we bless your holy name. We glorify you, Lord. For our program on Monday, the Victory Night service for the choir, Father, let your name be glorified in Jesus' name. Even tomorrow, the Pre-Victory Night, let your name be glorified as well in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we bless your holy name. We glorify you, Lord. For in Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Shall we unmute and jointly share the grace together in fellowship? And may the grace of our
Lord
Jesus
Christ,
the love of God,
the fellowship of the Holy Spirit,
and
the
love of God,
and the love of God, and the love of God, and the love of God, and the love of God, and the love of God, and the love of God, and the love of God, and the love of God, and the love of God, and the love of God, and the love of God, and the love of God, and the love of God, and the love of God, and the love of God, and the love of God, and the love of God, and the love of God, and the love of God, and the love of God, and the love of God, and the love of God, and the love of God, and the love of God, and the love of God, and the love of God, and the love of God, and the love of God, and the love of God, and the love of God, and the love of God, and the love of God, and the love of God, and the love of God, and the love of God, and the love of God, and the love of God, and the love of God, and the love of God, and the love of God, and the love of God, and the love of God, and the love of God, and the love of God, and the love of God, and the love of God, and the love of God, and the love of God, and the love of God, and the love of God, and the love of God, and the love of God, and the love of God, and the love of God, and the love of God, and the love of God,